6. And I want to look at a very familiar verse. And as I was saying, just when it comes to Christmas time, and I'm looking forward, I live by a very detailed schedule, especially as far as my travels, but also a very detailed daily schedule, and have to, you know, start in the morning and just go all the way through the day every single day, and just because of so many irons in the fire as far as ministry and as far as work. But the last 10 days has kind of been I have lived by a schedule, but it didn't seem like it was as busy as it usually is just during the normal routine of life. And sometimes it seems like our life gets a little bit cluttered, and we have so many irons in the fire, and we're going so many different directions. We don't know if we're pitching or catching sometimes, and we don't know if we're coming or going. But I want to teach on a subject today. I want to look at a very familiar verse that perhaps many of us in this room could stand to quote this morning. And I want us to look at Matthew chapter number 6. And verse number 33 this morning. And I want to teach on the subject on how to, I believe this verse teaches us a subject on how to unclutter our life. How to unclutter our life. Look at Matthew 6 and look at verse number 33. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, we need to take into consideration the context of the Scripture there. We find in the context of the Scripture, Jesus begins to tell them that He'll supply the clothes on their back, the shoes on their feet, their food on their table. And He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I'm thankful that not only does the Lord supply the food on our table, the shoes on our feet, the clothes on our back, but I'm thankful that He also gives us joy in our heart, amen. I'm glad that He also gives us peace of mind. I'm glad that He supplies for us what we need. But God says, "Seek you first the kingdom of God." Let me teach on the subject on how to unclutter our life. And I promise you, before I ever could stand to teach this message publicly, the Holy Spirit of God taught it to me privately. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. And Lord, we sure do thank You, Lord, for loving us. Thank You for saving us. Dear God, we thank You, Lord, for the friendship, Lord, that You've brought together, Lord, with my wife and, Lord, the Smart family now. Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, the friendship of Maranatha Baptist Church, Lord, that didn't happen just very long ago. But Lord, we do thank You, Lord, as I look across this crowd and, Lord, just see the great group of Your children, Lord, at the house of God, Lord, the Sunday after Christmas, dear God. And Lord, it just shows me that, Lord, I believe it proves to You, Lord, that we've given You the preeminence, or we desire to give You the preeminence of our lives. And dear God, I pray, Lord, that You would take this simple lesson, Lord, from even a simpler messenger this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You apply it to our hearts, Lord, as needed. And Lord, we'll thank You for all that You do. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. In 2006, there was a psychiatrist by the name of Edward Hallowell who published a book, and it was entitled this, "Crazy Busy, Overstretched, Overbooked, and About to Snap." In the book, he talks about how busy his life had become when he had found himself staying at a vacation home. And he became very angry at a rotary phone. How many of you know what a rotary phone is? Amen. The young people are looking at me like a calf looking through a new gate. But he couldn't use his cell phone, and it irritated him to have to wait for the dial to return back to start. Most of us this morning can relate to the title of Hallowell's book at times in our life. If we're honest, our lives sometimes become crazy busy. Every morning brings a new set of deadlines and duties that seem to demand more time than you and I have to give to those duties and demands. The cell phones are on our sides. The lists are in our pockets. The sticky notes on our desk, and the mailbox is full of emails only serve to remind us that we have got too much to do and not enough time to do those things. The reality is that our lives at some times become cluttered. We commit ourselves to many things that many times those things never get the attention that they deserve to get. Many times we become jack of all trades and masters at none of those trades. Sometimes our jobs suffer, our spouses suffer, our kids suffer, and most dangerous of all, our relationship with the Lord suffers. In Matthew chapter number 6, we find a very familiar verse of Scripture that many of us can quote that verse, and many of us, we try to live out that verse. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 6 and verse number 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If we read the verses leading up to this familiar, oftentimes quoted verse, we find the Lord Jesus had been teaching again about the cares and the worries and the demands of life. In verse number 33, the Lord teaches us that there are many things in life that seem to demand our time and our attention, but there's only one thing that truly deserves our time and attention, and that is our relationship with the Lord. I truly believe that if we, as God's people, ever applied this simple application to our lives, we would instantly find that our lives would be simplified or cleared of all the clutter that many times we get in our lives. In other words, we would truly focus on the main thing. We wouldn't be so frazzled by the many things of life. There are three truths here this morning that you and I can glean from this wonderful verse of Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. But first of all, I want us to look at the things that I want us to look at some truths this morning that Matthew 6 and verse number 33 gives us. First of all, I want us to look at the priority that must guide our life. The priority that must guide our life. Look again at our text. In Matthew 6, verse number 33, look at the verse. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I want you to notice that word first. That word first comes from a Greek word that has two meanings. It means first in the sense of order, the idea being that something is number one in a list of other things to do. The word also means first in the sense of chiefly or most prominent or having the preeminence. Or we might say that someone is best or the first in their class. The Bible is saying seek ye first, meaning that has the preeminence. Yes, we've got other things to do. Yes, there are other things that we've got to check off our list, but don't do any of those things until we first seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew Henry, I believe it was, that said, have no other task of the day until this one task is cared for. You understand, both of these meanings of the word first shine a light on what the Lord was saying in this verse. He teaches us that the kingdom of God should be a priority in our life. There are other things in our life, but nothing as important and nothing that we would put before the kingdom of God. His rule is to be the priority that guides our life. Can we be reminded? You and I would not even have life if it wasn't for the one that gave us life to begin with. I want us to notice a couple of things about this priority that Jesus set forth in verse number 33. First of all, that if the kingdom of God is to be the priority of our life, number one, it will direct the activity in our life. It will direct the activity in our life. If the kingdom of God is the priority in our life or the first thing, then everything we do will in some way relate to the priority in our life. For example, you may work a job, But that job is important to you only in so much that it helps in the kingdom of God. Can we be reminded? That job provides money so that we can give to the work of God. It allows a place for us to spread the gospel to our coworkers. Again, you and I would not even have the capability of getting out of bed in the morning if it wasn't for the goodness and the grace and the mercy of an almighty God. Yes, that job provides a roof over our head and clothes on our back and shoes on our feet. But my friend, God's the one that gave us that job, and God's the one that provides the money for those things to begin with. It's a way that we can glorify God. Do we see the principle this morning? When the kingdom of God is our priority, then everything that we do in life somehow relates to Christ and His position as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our life. Likewise, when the kingdom of God is first in our life, we will do nothing that detracts or interferes with that kingdom. There will be no debating whether or not we will go to church or stay in bed. We won't have to wrestle with whether we go to the ball field or to the house of God. You understand? The offering plate will not be an optional part of the service when the kingdom of God is a priority of our life. The preacher won't have to beg us to serve when the kingdom of God is priority in our life. When we set the kingdom of God as our priority, it will direct the activity in our life. Everything else in life, good, bad, or indifferent, becomes secondary to the kingdom of God. Henry Ford once said this, "A weakness of all human beings is trying to do too much at once. That scatters effort and destroys direction." And the Lord Jesus reminds us that when we set the kingdom of God as our priority, we will not try to do too many things at once. Our activities will be directed and focused on one thing, and that focus will always be the kingdom of God. Notice something else that we see about this priority. Notice not only that this priority will direct the activity of our life, but also further, when the kingdom of God is our priority, it will dictate the attitude of our life. It will dictate the attitude of our life. Look carefully again at what the Lord says in verse number 33. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Notice that familiar biblical phrase, the kingdom of God. Now, I've heard several attempts to define what exactly constitutes the kingdom of God. My belief is, and you can take that for what it's worth, I believe very simply the kingdom of God is this. It's a life in which God's will and God's word is the supreme and sole authority of a person's life. Living in the United States of America, it is difficult for you and I to really grasp the principles of a kingdom. We elect our leaders, or sometimes we elect our leaders, amen, and we expect to enact the wishes of the people. But in a kingdom or an absolute monarchy, the king is in complete charge of what goes on in that kingdom. The people that live in his kingdom are completely subject to his commands and his instructions for their lives. You understand? The people don't get a voice. They don't get a vote. They don't get a veto. They are simply expected to obey the king over that kingdom. This is the kind of life that Christ is describing when he mentions the kingdom of God. Christ is calling us to make the kingdom of God our priority, which means that we live our lives in complete and total obedience to the king, amen. And to live in the kingdom of God is to accept Christ's absolute authority and rule over our life. We will obey His word without debate or delay. And the clutter of our lives can only be cleared when we make the kingdom of God our priority in life and let that priority guide all that we do. There is more that we see in this precious verse. Not only is it the priority that must guide our life, but also it's the practice that must govern our life. The practice that must govern our life. As we continue looking at verse number 33, Notice what else the Lord Jesus says. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. To clear the clutter from our lives, we must not only seek the kingdom of God as our priority, but we must also set the righteousness of God as our practice. The righteousness of God as our practice. In seeking one, we will also seek the other. I want us to look at a couple of things about this phrase and His righteousness that we add in this text. Notice what His righteousness must be as described in the following truths. It's a way of life for the Christian. Number one, it's a way of life for the Christian. Notice the word righteousness. That word comes from literally, means equity or rightness in character. We seek first the kingdom of God. If we will seek first the kingdom of God, there will be no hesitation. The word simply speaks of being right in who you are and what you do. Is that not supposed to be the case of the life of every one of us that are saved by the grace of God? Child of God, why don't we just make up our mind at the end of this year and going into a new year that the word Christian will not just be our title, but it will also be a testimony of our lives. Amen. The word simply speaks of being right in who we are and what we do. In Romans 6:13, Paul said this. He said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. If our lives are to be simplified and streamlined, then we can no longer strive to please our flesh as well as God. The two are mutually exclusive one to the other. And when the kingdom of God becomes my priority, then righteousness will become my practice, and the way that I conduct my life will be my change of life. There are far too many Christians that take stabs at righteousness and sporadically practice living right, but they never seem to truly commit to holiness. I don't have to tell this Sunday morning Sunday school crowd this, that our world is in desperate need of God intervening in our lives. And my preacher's been making the statement. He said, America needs a revolution and a revival. And I don't care which one comes first. Amen. America's in desperate need of something, my friend. But we can point our finger at all we want to in America. But I believe the true problem with America is those of us that claim to be Christians, we just take stabs at living righteousness, and instead of it being a way of our life every single day. And as a result, people that just stab at righteousness never experience the full blessings and benefits of living for God. Victory is always a mirage, and they never rise above mediocre Christianity. In the uncluttered life of verse number 33, righteousness is not just a theological term. It's a way of life. I want you to notice something else about the practice that must govern our life. I want you to look at that verse again. Look at verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and look at that next word, His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You understand? It says His righteousness. Not only will it be a way of life for the Christian, but it's a work of God in the Christian. If we read too quickly in our text, we will miss that very important word. It says, His righteousness. While it is true that the Christian should seek to live a righteous life, the Christian is always aware that unless God makes us righteous, we will never become righteous. In other words, righteousness is not something a Christian can achieve alone. Just as our salvation was a gift of God's grace, our sanctification is likewise a work of God. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul asks a very direct question. In verse number 3, he says, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, Are you now made perfect by the flesh? In other words, Paul was asking this question. If you entered into the Christian life through the work of God, do you think that you will be able to live the Christian life by your own work? And the answer is absolutely no. Perhaps you discovered a fact, like all of us have discovered, that has become so abundantly clear, that the fact is, by myself, I am terrible at living the Christian life. I'm a miserable failure at doing a right apart from the help and the grace of an Almighty God. That's why every single day Paul said, I die daily. And I'm glad that Paul got to the spiritual level in his life where he was able to die daily. But can I be very honest with you? There's some times where I have to die minute by minute. And child of God, in our flesh, we're a wicked failure. But in the Spirit of God leading us and guiding us and directing us, we can find out what it is to live in victory. Amen. And so, therefore, what I seek as a part of my life every day is the work only God can do. I do not simply try to do good. I ask God to make me good. Amen. There's a third truth that we find in this text. If we want to simply unclutter our lives, notice not only the priority that must guide our life, and the practice that must govern our life, but notice also the promise that must guarantee our life. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is to be the first and primary pursuit of our lives. Nothing is to outrank it. Nothing is to replace it in our lives. We are to make Him the priority in our life. And yet our lives are so cluttered that oftentimes we are too busy for the things of God. The reality is that our lives are so busy and are so cluttered because deep down we fear that if we do not pursue everything, we will miss out on something. We fill our lives with activities. We fill our lives with appointments, hoping to drink up everything and fill the needs of our life. Yet in our text, in verse number 33, the Lord offers a promise that is contrary to the cluttered lives so many of us live. He says that if we will pursue His rule first and foremost, all these things shall be added or given to us by God. The promise is that guarantee for the Christian that abandons himself completely to the kingdom of God. I want us to notice a couple things about this promise. The Father will see our needs. The Father will see our needs. When my wife and I were packing up everything 10 days ago to leave from Lexington to come back to or to make our trip here, this Christmas trip to Texas and to Tennessee and back home to Lexington, I had one big suitcase and even a briefcase just full of work that I have to do. And I'm thankful that God allows me to be able to fulfill my call in evangelism and travel the country. But there's more things that added to my plate. Other than that, we conduct an addictions outreach back at home, and I teach in the Bible college, and I write for our Christian Growth magazine, and I just got a lot of irons in the fire. But you know, a couple days into that, God began to convict me about that and said, won't you just put me first and just spend time with me in the morning, and then after that, just spend time with your family, enjoying that time. Can I say, my friend, you and I would not have that work if it wasn't for God that gave us the work to begin with. Amen. The promise is that guarantee for the Christian that abandons himself completely to the kingdom of God. Notice a couple of things about this promise. First of all, I've already said this. The Father will see our needs. Again, earlier in this chapter, the Lord Jesus is talking about the basic needs of life about which men spend so much of their time worrying about. He talks about the things such as food and clothing. He tells his disciples not even to think about these things. Verse number 32, he makes this statement. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Get a hold of that truth, child of God. The Lord Jesus says, you seek after the kingdom of God. Don't think about the needs of your life. And if you'll concentrate on the needs of the kingdom, the Father will concentrate on the needs of your life. That's a wonderful promise, amen. While God desires for me to bring my request to Him, I never alert God with my needs. He knows what we're in need before we even ask Him. I hate to go back to it, but I think about last year, March of 2020, and you understand, and God's taken very good care of my wife and I, and I don't have any pity parties, amen, and God hadn't just been good to us. God's flat spoiled my wife and I rotten, and I'm thankful for His goodness on my life. But for me to stand here this morning and tell you that I didn't become a little bit fearful when 10 weeks were completely wiped off my calendar, I wouldn't be honest in telling you that I wasn't a little bit fearful. You understand, God takes care of my wife and I through the love offerings of God's people, and God's been faithful all these years. But I began to go to God with that childlike faith I did when I first got saved. And I began to think about it. And I know nobody here's ever done this, but I began to question God. I began to ask God, God, how am I going to be able to pay the mortgage on my house? And how am I going to be able to keep the lights on? And how am I going to be able to keep food on the table? And how am I going to be able to do all this? And I didn't know what else to do except just to spend time with God in the morning time and reading my Bible and praying. And God just kind of settled in my heart as I read this portion of Scripture like it was the very first time I read it. And God says, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added unto you. And can I say, I can testify a year and a half later, not one time were we ever late on the mortgage. Not one time did the lights ever turned off. As you can tell, there wasn't one time that I went without any food. Amen. God took care of that. God said, you just put first things first and I'll take care of everything else. Amen. Aren't you thankful this morning for the promises of the Word of God? And when you and I don't have the answers to life's questions, I'm glad that God gave us a book, an answer book to all of life's questions. Aren't you thankful for that? It's a wonderful promise. While God desires for me to bring my request to Him, again, I never alert God with my needs. He knows my needs even more clearly than I do. He sees every void in my life. And when I obey God and seek first His will, that I can be assured that my needs are clear to His omniscient eye. The promise of God is that when we are pursuing Him, we will not have to inform Him of our needs. He knows the needs of our life. I want you to notice something else about this promise. Not only the Father will see our needs, but also that the Father will supply our needs. I got a little bit ahead of myself. Not only does He see our needs, but the Father will supply our needs. I draw your attention to our text in verse number 33. Jesus again says, all these things shall be added unto you. I want you to notice that word added. It comes from a word that literally means to lay beside. In other words, as I follow after the kingdom of God, not striving after, not worrying over the needs of life, what I will find is that along the way, God will simply lay beside me things that I need. Rather than expending all my energy trying to fulfill these needs, by pursuing the priority of the kingdom of God, the grace of God supplies my needs. We don't have to live a cluttered life. We don't have to be stretched in 10 different ways. We don't have to divide our loyalties and our abilities. The Word of God offers us a guarantee in the form of God's promise. If we will seek His kingdom first, He will add to our life everything that we need. Remember Paul's words in Philippians chapter 4 in verse number 19. The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Our culture is one in which most of us live lives that know only two speeds. That's fast and frantic. Our candle burns at both ends, and we're trying to find a way to light the middle as well. Our busyness has left us with cluttered lives. We throw our time away on trivial and temporary things, and very often that which matters most gets the least of our attention. St. Augustine, who lived in the 4th century, once said something that is very fitting to our day. He said this, God wants to give us something but cannot because our hands are full and there is nowhere for Him to put those things which He wants to give. There's so much, spiritually speaking, that God wants to do with and through our lives, yet we prevent Him from doing it simply because we can never get focused on that which is supremely important. Can I ask us this morning, do we truly trust God? Do we truly understand the fact of the matter that He is my Father and I'm His child? He knows what I need better than I know what I need, and He's going to supply that need. I don't know about you, but I want His will to be done in my life. I want to unclutter some things in my life, and I want to eliminate that which is unnecessary and listen to the familiar words of Matthew 6, verse number 33, that says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Just some thoughts that God gave me this week as I just a truth that of this Sunday school lesson of just some things that I just paid attention to this week as I spent time with family. And really all that matters is just spending time with God and spending time with family during this time of year. And my friend, we don't have to be so cluttered in life that we push out the most important things in this life. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Lord, I pray, Lord, again, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God, Lord, took this simple lesson, Lord, and Lord was able to speak to the hearts of every listener here today. And Lord, there's no difference between me and every man, woman, boy, or girl that sits in this room. Lord, many times we get so busy at so many other things, not bad things, but things, Lord, that sometimes push You out of the way. And Lord, we wouldn't even have those things in life if it wasn't for Your goodness and Your grace. Lord, I pray that we'd find out what it is to unclutter the unnecessary things in this life. And Lord, put number one, the necessary thing, and that is our relationship and our fellowship with You. Lord, I pray that You'd bless this Sunday school lesson. I pray, Lord, that You'd bless the service to come. Lord, everything that we say and do today, I pray, Lord, that bring honor and glory to You. And we'll thank You for it. In Your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, preacher.